The little crank on your window looks like a bunny.
Yeah, it does.
Okay. I was like, ooh, a bunny!
Yeah, it does look like a little bun.
I'm Shelby.
I'm Chrissy.
And this is Pentacles and Tentacles.
It's a bit of a somber mood because the world is ending.
Yeah. We record these very much in advance, so this will go out a lot later than what is happening right now. But
today is June 9th.
It'll probably continue by the time this is released, but we did not release a podcast last week because of the death of George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter movement, which we are both very pro. So if you can't protest, please donate. If you can't donate, please sign petitions. If you're not old enough to sign petitions, do something.
Put a sign in your yard.
Yeah.
Do something.
And COVID's still happening.
Yeah. That's why I said the world feels like it's ending.
I told Sierra, because there's that moment where it was like a plague of locusts in the Middle East and like a bunch of other stuff. I was like, the minute there's a plague of frogs, I'm going to Orthodox Judaism. I have found God. That is my moment.
Honestly, I think a swarm of frogs.
That's my moment.
I just think of how loud that would be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, locusts are loud too, but like frogs are just like, it depends on, like, the frog, I assume, and the mood it's in, but...
Or, like, an actual body of water turns to blood. That would probably be my other moment.
Well, that just makes no sense to me.
Yeah, but that's God. That's straight up biblical.
Well, then you would convert me.
Yeah, I'd be like, we're going to...
Well, then I'd have to find something.
We're going to a yeshiva. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, I have to be like, well, something's happening. I can't deny it any longer.
Something is afoot. Also, if a burning bush were to talk to me, that's probably... Then I might think I'm schizophrenic,
Well, then I would take you to the doctor.
Yeah, that might be schizophrenia. But the frogs thing, other people can see.
Well, if you start talking about frogs and there's no frogs, mm-hmm. I'm taking you to the doctor.
That's fair. No. That's very fair. I would hope you would take me to the doctor.
For those of you that don't know, I was not brought up very religious, so Shelby says a lot of things that are very much over my head.
Just let me know when you don't know.
I don't know any of it. I went to Sunday school once with my friend.
Oh.
I don't know anything.
See, like,
I know, like, the basic stories because I went to like vacation Bible school with my friends because story time. I was gonna tell a story like during like a Halloween episode.
Mm-hmm.
I was in like fifth grade or sixth grade or something and I was doing a project on witches.
Mm-hmm.
I might have already told the story.
I know I think you told it to me. It sounds familiar.
I don't know. I might have told it on the podcast before. I don't know. My friend's mom tattled on me.
Yeah.
And told my mom that I thought I was a witch.
Your mom was like, okay.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, okay. And they're like, well, doesn't that bother you? And I was like, I don't care. So I had to go to church with my friend and her mom.
Oh, dear God.
And they started taking me to church. They, like, started, like, I realize now that she'd be like, well, Chrissy can spend the night on Saturday night. And then in the morning, we'd wake up. She would do my hair, put us all in matching outfits.
Ugh.
Yeah, it was very weird.
Ugh.
And then, like, my other friend Sarah went to the same church. So Sarah was my best friend in kindergarten through, like,
mm-hmm.
all the time. Like, she's always that, like, friend that you, like, you're yeah. still, like...
Yeah. Like, you can pick up after not talking and
I mean,
it's fine.
It would be real awkward now because I haven't talked to her in so long. But she was my best friend, like, yeah. through kindergarten through high school, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I went to church with her. But it was never weird.
They didn't make you dress a matching outfit?
Sarah and I did it on purpose because in seventh grade, we had Spirit Week.
Mm-hmm.
And Spirit Week, you got to have a twin.
Oh, I remember that.
And Sarah was my twin.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just say, Sarah's very tiny.
Like
I am not tiny.
Like short tiny or all tiny?
Short and tiny.
Okay.
Shorter than me and tiny.
Okay.
Which doesn't take a lot. because I'm not very short in general. I'm like,
you're average height for a woman.
Yeah, I'm 5'4".
Fowler?
I was gonna say 5'5", 5'4". Depends on the bun.
Yeah, the bun does make a difference.
But Sarah and I wore matching clothes on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very different than a mom forcing her.
Yeah, friends. Also, when I went to church with Sarah, she was the person that videotaped it, like, did the live recording for the people that couldn't walk upstairs and had to watch it downstairs.
Oh.
So Sarah and I just sat upstairs in, like, the balcony of the church. Mm-hmm. I don't know what those are called. It's a balcony to me.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
We didn't have...
I also forget that you're Jewish and not Christian. Did someone just roll up?
No, I'm trying to think. Did I have a balcony? Because I went to one synagogue that was very, very bougie, and I can't remember. No, we didn't. Never mind. Continue.
But we just sit up in the balcony, and I don't even think we paid attention to a lick of anything they said.
Nah.
I never paid attention anyway, because clearly it's all over my head. So when you say things, I'm like, a bush?
Yeah.
I don't know, like, Ashley says things to me, I'm like, okay.
Because, like, most of the people I grew up with had, like, a basic recollection of the First Testament, because that's where Christianity and Judaism kind of meet, and then after that, it's like, no.
I lost my sense of wanting to know religion when my boss tried to heal my sinus infection with her hands.
Yeah. That'll do it.
I took a class in college called Magic, Witchcraft, and Religion, and it made me realize that Christianity and Catholicism are interesting.
Yeah.
And I kind of strayed away from all of those beliefs because I was like, yeah, I don't know about you.
Yeah. I don't know. At least when I went to synagogue, Judaism was more like telling the history of your people over and over again. And all those mystical moments were like, you know, maybe, but probably not.
I think that's my issue with, like, Christianity is like, it happened.
Yeah, we're just like,
it happened.
He said a bush talk to him.
I had to ask who wrote the Bible. I still don't know. Like,
I don't know.
I don't know.
Some man.
I asked Ashley who wrote the Bible. I don't remember what she said.
God.
Well, because I was like, so someone just made this up one day.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, it was a prophet.
No. Okay. I'm convinced that most prophets had schizophrenia.
If you watch Supernatural.
Okay.
Wait, have you watched
Supernatural?
Yes. All of it?
Not all of it, but I know him.
The prophet?
Yeah, I forget his name, but you know.
And what happens to him? Well, like...
Vaguely. I mean, he writes the books.
Okay, but do you know... I don't want to ruin it for you. He's God.
Oh, shit! I didn't know that! Fuck!
Yeah.
He tricks them the whole time?
I don't remember. I haven't watched it in a really long time, so I don't remember if he knows. Yeah, he does.
He would have to know.
What if you were God and didn't know?
That'd be terrible.
And you're just playing Sims.
Aw, man. That feels so bad.
I want to, like, learn about how people, like, seriously think, like, this is a simulation. I want to learn about that. Maybe I'll have to, like...
I thought for the longest time we were living in a simulation because I thought I could see the pixels in the simulation. Turns out that's called visual snow. And not everyone sees that. Everything's just, like, mildly fuzzy.
Oh, that's an astigmatism.
I was like, oh, shit. That's a thing. Oh, no.
Okay, we've been talking for a long time.
That's fine. We don't get to see each other that often.
You're right.
Yeah.
Today, we're talking about nothing that we just previously discussed.
Nothing. Now for something completely different.
Well, no, because I should have, like, just, like... I had a good segue.
Oh.
Because I was talking
Timmy
about...
Timmy, edit it out.
No, because now it's over, because then, like... Timmy, you should really edit out the part where I ruined Supernatural for anyone who hasn't watched it.
Just put a long beep or something.
He's...
like a sheep. Like... Or that. Edit that noise.
Sounds like... Amanda in the Amanda Show.
I could do. Yeah.
Don't get more throaty of it.
No. There's a lot of phlegm in there. I don't know what's going to come out.
Okay, so I am talking about the Wendigo. And my notes are kind of short because I didn't want to tell people's stories of seeing it.
Because it's a very Native American religious thing.
Well, it's.
I don't know if religious is the right word.
It's a folklore. It's a folklore.
Cultural. That was a better word. I think.
It's a folklore. like most cryptids are.
Yeah.
I got most of my information from I got most of it from All That's Interesting, Legends of America, Wikipedia, Strange Origins podcast, and a video on YouTube from Mythology and Fiction Explained.
Wow.
Which I'm convinced that we all got our information from Wikipedia.
Probably.
And Legends of America and All That's Interesting. Like, I think, like, mm-hmm. But they helped me.
Yeah.
They put it into words where I didn't have to read it.
Yeah. I like listening to other people's thoughts.
Yeah. So.
I said under people's thoughts, and that's not right. Armpits. Huh? No.
Okay. So, it's. The Wendigo is a mythical creature or an evil spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a lot of debate on what.
Okay.
So, it originates from folklore in the Algonquin tribes of Nova Scotia, the Great Lakes region of Canada, and the United States.
Hmm.
Legend says that the Wendigo was once a lost hunter who, during a tough winter, his hunger drove him to cannibalism,
mm-hmm.
and after he consumed the flesh, he was transformed into a crazed, demonic man-beast and left to roam the wilderness in search of food. But the thing with the Wendigo is apparently their hunger is never satisfied. So they're just always like, yeah, I'm hungry all the time, which I relate.
Very much relate.
I don't know what the symbolism is there, though. Because, like, most folklores have, like, a myth or, like, they have a...
Like a moral attached?
A moral attached. Which I know there is part of, like, I'm going to talk about the moral in a second, but, like, the never... Like, I mean, it's greed. Like, it's never satisfied is the greed part of it.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
I was trying to think. I was like, the most cryptids I know, like, either there's, like, a moral attached or it's, like, keep kids away from things.
Like Slenderman.
Like Slenderman.
Is Slenderman...
I think at this point, now he's just a cryptid of folklore? Nope. Folklore. But I was thinking
Taco
of, like...
Taco Bell sports.
Like, in Japan, like, the Kappa. He was like, keep away from bodies of water.
Okay. I get you.
Mm-hmm.
So once it's transformed... It's hungry all the time and trying to eat some humans.
Okay.
But at that point, it's not a cannibal anymore, right?
It's not human?
It's not a human anymore, so it's not really a cannibal. It just wants to eat humans.
Is it a humanoid?
I don't know. But I'm just thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought of that. It popped in my head.
We're spitballing here.
Another rough translation for the word Wendigo is evil spirit that devours mankind, which is really emo.
It's also very literal.
Yeah. And this is related to claims that it has the power to curse humans by possessing them. And then once it's infiltrated their mind, it has the power to turn them into Wendigos. So basically, I think of this as it's, like, possessing you like a demon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right, it's time to do the butterfly. And it makes a giant chrysalis, and you turn into a giant 15-foot Wendigo. I'm jumping ahead.
Okay.
In some traditions, humans that are overpowered by the feelings of, like, greed and, like, that kind of stuff could turn into Wendigos. So this was, the moral was a method of trying to, encourage, like, moderation and cooperation. Like,
okay.
Which, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, if you are greedy, you're going to turn into a giant man-beast.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, like, theories that they could turn into Wendigos by being in contact with one for too long, which I feel like at that point you'd just be eaten.
Yeah, I'm like, does a Wendigo keep, like, once, like, I'm gonna keep this one to turn him into a Wendigo.
Tomorrow.
Like, how, like, a vampire's like, you know what, I'm not gonna eat you, I'm gonna turn you into one of me.
Alright, Edward Cullen.
I was thinking more Dracula, but alright. You know how I feel about Dracula?
Do I?
Gary Oldman.
Oh, well, I know how you feel about Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman!
She has a thing.
I don't know what it is about him. Normally, I'm not, like, into older men, but he just does it. I think because he's so talented.
Yeah. For some reason, when you say Gary Oldman, Jeff Goldblum pops in.
I mean, Jeff Goldblum's attractive, but, like... He's so weird, I couldn't.
Oh, I know.
Like, I just want to, like, talk to him.
I also can't imagine him as anyone else other than the Grandmaster from Thor.
I keep thinking of him in Portlandia and the Knot Store.
Beats?
Anyway. Oh, wait. I know of another old guy. Not old, but middle-aged. Taika Waititi.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
Speaking of Thor. Fuck. Anyway, back to...
The Wendigo.
Yes. So, what does it look like? You may ask.
I have an idea, but I feel like I'm wrong.
Do you ask? What do you think it looks like?
Is it the really tall with kind of like a deer head?
No.
Okay.
But yes.
Oh.
So modern interpretations can show it looking similar to a stag.
Okay.
So there's like modern interpretations where it has like the face of like just like a deer skull.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
So that's a modern interpretation of it. So the traditional interpretation is something similar to a corpse.
Ew.
So it's stands around 15 feet tall.
Apparently. I was gonna say a 15 foot tall corpse.
Apparently, when you eat flesh, you hit a growth spurt.
I feel like the flesh just becomes a part of you to add more flesh, which then adds height instead of weight. I wish that's how it worked.
Let's ask Jeffrey Dahmer.
What if instead of gaining weight when you ate, you got taller?
Well, considering I just ate a foot-long cheesesteak.
And if you lost weight, you got shorter.
God, I'd be so tall.
I could reach so many things.
Legend says that it was never fully satisfied with its cannibalistic urges. And since it's never satisfied, it is skinny as crap and looks emaciated.
What I'm saying, get tall, not fat.
What color is its skin?
I'm picturing a gray.
Yes.
Yeah!
Like death.
I love gray.
What do its eyes look like?
Black soulless pits.
No.
Damn it.
Like owls. Which I guess are black soulless pits sometimes.
Sometimes they're like glowy orange.
Yeah, so it's some I don't legends like that. Say that they look like owl eyes. For some massive
reason,
owl
for
eyes.
For some reason that made me very uncomfortable.
But they're pushed back into the sockets. And it gives off a gross odor of death.
Of course it does. Hold on. Keep telling me. I'm going to Google it. Because I need to see them eyes.
An owl eye?
No, well, not just give me all the stag pictures. Keep telling me the story.
It's unusually fast and can endure long periods of harsh winter. Look up the Until Dawn version. Because that one is the most accurate.
Yeah, that's the one that's the most recent I've seen. That looks like Gollum, though.
Yeah, maybe Gollum's a tiny baby Wendigo.
No.
Schmeagle.
Okay, continue.
As if it's falling apart and being a deathly skeleton thing, it kind of walks in a haggard manner. You would imagine like a dead, like a zombie, I'd think.
Is it fast?
Yes.
Oh, because I'm imagining like the crawling, and I hate when things crawl.
No, it says it's unusually fast, or usually. And most sightings of the Wendigo are in colder areas, so like Canada, Minnesota, that section.
Yeah, I mean, I could imagine, and this is just like a scientific standpoint, if it was in like the South and it was literally a decaying corpse, the heat would make it decay more, but the cold might keep it together.
Sure.
I guess.
Okay. Spitballing.
I postulate.
The exact details depend on who you ask and what tribes or... what cultures you ask, but some people believe it might be a relative of the Bigfoot.
Oh.
And then other records compare it to a werewolf, which I'm more on the werewolf side of things.
I think, because if I think of the, like, Harry Potter third movie werewolf,
yeah.
Instead of, like, the big hairy, like, wearing torn shorts.
Sirius Black.
Remus Lupin.
Yes.
Excuse you.
Oh, the Grimm was, yeah, was that's serious. Who I was thinking about.
Yeah, but he's like really like skinny and gray and like tall and like he makes that noise.
Okay.
I love that movie. I've watched it 50 times.
It's the best one.
Yes.
The Wendigo doesn't rely on pursuing its prey because one of its traits is that it mimics human voices to lure people away from, like, each other. And then once it's in isolation, it feasts on human bodies.
Oh.
And at the turn of the 20th century, the Algonquin tribes attributed a lot of their unsolved disappearances of their people to Wendigo attacks.
Oh.
And this, in turn, earned the Wendigo the name Spirit of Lonely Places.
Oh.
And one of the, like, cases of this... is this Native American man named Swift Runner,
mm-hmm.
who murdered and ate his entire family in 1879 because apparently he was very hungry. I think they were just like out doing a hunting thingy, and he claims that he was possessed by a Wendigo spirit and he was hanged for his crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And the case of Swift Runner brings up this idea and theory of something called Wendigo psychosis, which is when a person is in a situation where they're driven to cannibalism. So you're out in the wilderness and you have no food, but you're with someone and you're like, well, gotta do it. The initial symptoms of this are poor appetite, nausea, and vomiting. And then you eventually develop a delusion that they're being transformed into a Wendigo, and they begin seeing people around them as being edible, but have an exaggerated fear of becoming a cannibal. So, like, they're repulsed by it, but they're like, oh my god, but I'm so hungry.
I could see your brain, like, trying to distance yourself. Like, if you think, like, you're turning into this horrible monster, mm-hmm. that would be, like, you're distancing your human self from this primal self that wants to stay alive.
Yeah. And then a case of this is Jack Fiddler, who was an Oji Cree chief and medicine man and shaman, which are the same thing.
Okay.
But... he followed in his father's footsteps and became a famous shaman, and he was known for his ability to conjure animals and protect people from spells.
Hmm.
And he was known for defeating Wendigos. That was, like, one of his, like, known things. And he claimed to have defeated 14 of them, some of which he claimed were sent by enemies, shaman, like, from other places.
Mm-hmm.
And then he thought some of them were members of his own band who were taken over by the insatiable desire to eat flesh.
Oh.
So basically, this meant he was killing people with Wendigo psychosis.
Mm.
And he was sometimes asked by family members to kill the very sick loved ones before they turn into Wendigos, because this is, like, a very, like, serious belief that they had. And in other cases, he said that sometimes the Wendigo itself would ask to be euthanized. Apparently, one of Jack's brothers, Peter, was turned into a Wendigo while he was out on a exploration. There we go. That's the word I was looking for.
Cool.
And he turned into a Wendigo when the food ran out, and he was eventually killed because of this. And then in 1907, Jack and his brother Joseph were arrested by Canadian authorities for homicide because they had killed all these people.
Yeah.
And Jack completed suicide, like, 3 days after they were caught, and then Joseph was tried and convicted. But ultimately, he was granted a pardon, but then he died in jail, like, 3 days later.
Wow.
So... like, they were, I don't know if this was an excuse
mm-hmm.
that they were using to kill these people or what.
If they really, really believed this and that yeah. they were doing good things.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was really interesting.
Yeah.
And then there are people, psychologists, anthropologists, all these people who have argued that Wendigo psychosis is just a fabrication. But then others have pointed out that there are credible eyewitnesses that gave firsthand evidence and that it's an actual historical phenomenon
mm-hmm.
that needs to be, like, taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the frequency of Wendigo psychosis pretty much drastically decreased and died out when the Algonquin tribes came into contact with European ideologies,
mm-hmm.
this kind of led to the belief that it was just a fabrication.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they're a really big topic in, like, media and mm-hmm. different things, so I'm just gonna give a quick little list.
Because I was trying to remember, because I've seen them in something, but I couldn't remember, so it's probably your list.
So, although it's different from the traditional lore, one of the first appearances in non-Indigenous literature
mm-hmm.
was Algernon Blackwood's 1910 short story called The Wendigo.
Hmm.
And Blackwood's work, which was, like, modern fiction horror, inspired August Derleth's The Thing That Walked in the Wind and Ithaca. Mm-hmm. Ithaca. Not really sure how to say it.
Probably Ithaca.
Ithaca. And those books inspired Stephen King's Pet Sematary.
Oh.
And in Pet Sematary, the main, like, spirit or power mythical creature thing
mm-hmm.
that is the magical entity that created the cemetery. Mm-hmm. That it's, like, the reason that these things become reanimated in the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's an evil spirit, because cannibalism is associated with evil, the things that are reanimated come back a little bit more homicidal than they were originally. There is a book called Mortality and Mercy in Vienna by Thomas Pynchon.
Pynchon.
It's a short story from 1959, and the plot centers around a character who develops Wendigo syndrome and goes on a killing spree.
Lovely.
I kind of want to read that. And then in 1973, the edition of The Incredible Hulk, Hulk and Wolverine fight a Wendigo, and this is the Wolverine's first appearance in a comic book. Wow. So that's pretty significant. And then apparently My Little Pony also references them. And it kind of references them as a translucent ghost-like pony. And they're called winter spirits that feed off of bad energy.
What?
I know. Teen Wolf, Supernatural, Blood Ties, Charmed, Grimm, and Hannibal all reference them.
Grimm is probably where I remember it. I loved that show.
It's on Amazon Prime. Oh, that's why I named my fish after.
I thought you named him after the Grim Reaper.
No.
Oh.
The Grim Fairy Tales, which are in turn the show Grimm.
Yeah.
And then the DuckTales Christmas special. The Wendigo is the main antagonist. And they're stated to, because it's a kid's show, they're just poor souls turned into monsters by obsession and desperation.
Uh-huh.
And then Until Dawn, I have this game. I haven't finished it yet because I keep getting spooked.
Mm-hmm.
The Wendigo is like the main, like, I honestly didn't know this until I got partway through the game and I looked up gameplay and then I found out it's like a Wendigo thing. I didn't know that. I thought my mom just got me the game because it looked cool.
I mean, it's really terrifying.
And it's also, like, live-acted.
Mm-hmm.
And Rami Malek's like, in it. And it's just...
the facial capture.
It's just weird. And Hayden Panettiere's in
it. Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of.
Rami Malek's the more important one.
Yeah.
Because he's Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
All right. That was it.
Thanks, Rain.
I know it was short, but I didn't want to tell other people's stories about it because I can't do them justice, and I honestly just...
Yeah. Because it falls into, like,
a weird
middle ground of
it's not my cryptic it's also cultural not my story significance. To tell.
Yeah.
All right. So what are you telling me?
You wanted me to talk about...
Can you hand me that pillow?
Sure.
I want to cuddle it.
You wanted me to talk about Nexium.
Tell me about Allison Mack.
Oh, God.
So, is she mentioned in it?
Yeah, a little bit.
That's the only reason I found out about it.
This whole thing... So, for legal reasons, this is not a cult, but it does check a lot of cult-like boxes. And if we recall from my Jonestown, I want you to kind of remember the list and tell me when things jump out at you.
I can go get the notes.
Okay.
But I'm not gonna, because I have my cuddle pillow.
I got a lot of my notes from All That's Interesting, an article written by Brock Wilbur, because he... almost got sucked into the cult. It's a funny story.
I feel like I would get sucked in.
No, this is...
Would I have gotten sucked into this one?
No, because it's an MLM.
Oh, you know how I feel.
Yeah. If you take away one thing from this, it's me and Chrissy do not like MLMs. Do not sell us your supplements.
I was part of one once.
Which one?
To be fair, it was Beachbody, and I don't think that's technically... Because I just bought the workouts.
Okay.
So
it wasn't supplements, it wasn't Mary Kay, it was...
Oh, no.
Okay.
It was just, I bought access to a workout website.
That's fine. That's fine.
It's okay. Yeah. It was also to help out a college friend, because she's like, I'm trying to make money, and like, that's fine, but I'm trying to not be fat.
Yeah. But one, I got this also from Zealot.
Spoiler alert, I'm still fat.
So I got a lot of my information from Zealot, which is one of my favorite podcasts, and The Last Podcast on the Left.
Okay.
They both interviewed Brock Wilbur. It's really funny. One of their legal things during they're in jail. Their sentencing has been postponed due to COVID, but one of their things was, if we're a cult, so is Scientology. But
I think we know Scientology is a cult.
But if the government were to determine Nexium as a cult, that would also mean they would need to determine Scientology as a cult.
Instead of a religion.
Instead of a religion, take away their tax status, and prosecute them. So what if both of these cults just got taken down by each other, and we didn't have to do anything?
There was a show that my dad used to watch, and it has nothing, Storage Wars.
What does that have to do with this?
I was going to say, it's like Storage Wars, but it has nothing to do with that,
Okay. You good? You okay there?
The cheese steak's really getting to me.
Oh, man. So, they are a multi-level marketing company. That's what they want to be called instead of
Which, honestly, also, if you would rather be called a cult than a ML.
Exactly. I was like, the fact that you'd rather be called a multi-level marketing company rather than a cult is also really sad.
Depends on what you're selling.
They're not selling so much. Sex, so there's,
I assume.
No.
Oh.
Honestly, the sex part is the saddest and probably kind of most boring part of this whole thing.
Okay.
So there's Nexium. And Nexium has a bunch of little fringe groups underneath it, all with shitty, shitty names.
Tell me the names.
So there's Consumers Byline, which is Keith Raniere's first company that he started. He is the grandmaster daddy of this all.
Don't you dare use grandmaster. When that is our Lord and Savior.
Why don't I call him by the name he wants, which is Vanguard?
Or don't. Just call him, what's his
Keithy.
Name? Just call him Keith.
Keith.
That's my uncle's name.
Keith. So, there's Consumers Byline, and then that actually got sued for being a marketing scheme. And then there's ESP, which is executive something, but it's like training. So, people will send their employees to do these trainings to learn how to be better employees, pretty much, or how to, be better at being companies and blah blah blah, but it's their version of successful. So they claim that we will make you super successful as long as you are looking at our version of successful, which is being successful in their pyramid scheme.
Okay.
Joe Thornley put it, it's like, I can make you an Olympic gymnast as long as I'm in charge of the Olympics.
And determine what an Olympic gymnast
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm owner of the Olympics company. That's what this is. Then there's DOS, which is the sex cult part, which stands for Dominus Obsequious Sororium, which is a Latin phrase that roughly translates to master over slave women. We don't like that. And then
I had no words.
My favorite name is the Knife of Aristotle.
Okay.
Which then Joe Thornley said, I'm gonna join the Spoon of Damocles.
Stop. I need to tell you a story.
About the Spoon of Damocles?
Well, okay, so you know, in Rocky Horror Picture Show,
yeah,
Clarence was in it.
Yeah.
And he had to sing. I was a very supportive girlfriend. I'm not anymore because he ruined my life. But
he's the Goblin King.
He is. But I was being a good girlfriend and watching his past musicals. And he's, not
great. I'm sorry, that's when your friend asks, come see my show. And you're I really don't want to.
He cheated on me with a girl at the show.
Uh-huh.
So I can say this.
Yeah.
And now they're married. So, sorry, I just had to clear the air there for a minute.
Fuck you!
But I had to, and the Sword of Damocles, is that what it is? Is hanging over my head, mm-hmm. During that song lyric of Rocky mm-hmm. Horror. His voice cracked so bad during it. I fell asleep when I was watching it.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up and I was like, what was that?
Well, now you can picture it's a spoon.
That's even better, okay.
It's a spoon. Spoon of Damocles. And that is their, it's a group of journalists and editors trying to stamp out fake news.
And that's the Sword of Aristotle.
Knife of Aristotle.
Knife. Why is it a knife and not a sword?
I'm thinking that I'm hoping that Keith Raniere's alluding to that he does not have a big penis.
Okay.
That's my hope. Anyway. But that's how Brock got into this.
Through the Aristotle.
Yes. So he was between jobs, and he's like, and he was writing about comedians and celebrities. He's like, I really want to do something more meaning, and he saw an ad for this.
So what, I'm sorry, I missed, what was the Knife of Damn Aristotle?
Yes. So they want to stamp out fake news.
Okay.
And this, and he was like, this is right after the 2016 election. And he's like, okay. And my mom keeps like looking at like Donald Trump defeated ISIS within his first day of office, and I'm like, Mom, no, like, where did you find that? So he's like, that's important to like expose the fake
Onion
news.
The Onion articles will get you.
Yes. Yeah, no, they don't.
Okay.
They suck.
Okay.
Also, if you look at their, when they had a website, I think it's gone now because I couldn't find it, they had like the people, like the bios of everyone who worked there. Mm-hmm. And they would just talk about these countries that they worked in, but not the schools they went to, not any like other jobs they had, and that they all came from money, which, like, if you come from money, you normally don't talk about how you come from money. Like, it's an important factor in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird. And then one woman's bio was like, she loves writing and chocolate. And like,
same.
I mean, fair. There's a couple others. There's XOSO, which is yoga, which then I get the lovely jingle from Zealot. Is there yoga in it? Yes, there is yoga in it. There's Jeunesse, which is a support group for women. Because
why does that sound like a like vaginal suppository?
Yes. And then there's the Society of Protectors, which is defending the honor of men.
Nope.
It's all bullshit. I also want to read to you the mission statement of ESP.
Read it.
The mission of ESP is to develop an integrated ethical framework of human experience to stop the destruction of value in the world and move humanity forward. This practice session explains ESP's mission and gives students a clear knowledge of how and why to act to change historic trends. It doesn't mean anything.
I don't understand.
Exactly.
It was just a lot of verbiage.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Keith is...
To develop an integrated ethical framework of human experience to stop the destruction of value in the world and move humanity forward. I get that.
But how? Also, you're marketing yourself as, like, classes for companies to be better. Like, Keith claims that he helped, like, whoever owns BET, and Branson, who I think owns Virgin Airlines, and like they had the Dalai Lama come and speak, and he gifted him a white scarf, and I don't know what that means, but like none of that has to do with being a better business person.
No.
We're gonna talk about Keith. Keith Raniere was born in Brooklyn, New York on August 26, 1960. His parents separated when he was very young, and his mother was reportedly a very bad alcoholic. When he was young, he already showed some really weird behavior. So, I don't know why this is important, but he was enrolled in a Waldorf school, which is kind of like a charter school, when he was 10, and a classmate of shared some compromising information about her sister to Keith, I guess just talking. And he said, you know, it's like I have this little bottle of poison I can hold over your head. I don't think your parents or your sister would be very happy if I told them. And she claimed Raniere would call and say, little bottles, as a firm reminder that he was in control of the situation. This comes into play later.
So, she told him a secret, and he held it over her head.
Yes.
That's not friendship.
No, it is not. Because
I've told you my deep, dark secret.
Yeah.
And you never held it over my head.
Half the time I forget, until you bring it up. And I'm like, oh, yeah!
That I've never seen Hocus Pocus.
Yeah. Now you told everyone.
Timmy, edit that out. Now you know.
Use the sheep noise!
It's okay, I'm not really ashamed of that one. I have a deeper secret.
Yeah. This escalated as he got older. One of his former partners told a story that Keith's dad told her, so again, who knows if this is real.
Mm-hmm.
But dozens of girls were calling the house, and Raniere's mom was overhearing his conversations with them, and he was telling every single girl the same thing. I love you, you're the special one, you're the important one in my life, and I love you. So just manipulation is a very overarching feature in Keithy's world.
I don't like him.
No, he's an asshole. As early as 1984, Rainier manipulated a 15-year-old girl named Gina Melita into a sexual relationship when he was 24.
No, so he's 24.
Mm-hmm.
That's disgusting.
He often took her to video game arcades where he seemed to enjoy one Atari shooter called The Vanguard, which is where he got his stupid nickname.
After an Atari game?
Yes. Rainier then began attempting to start multi-level marketing companies. His business, Consumers Byline, shut down in 1993, the year we were born, after being investigated by 23 states, and was called an illegal pyramid scheme.
Hmm.
Hmm. Oh, I found it. ESP stands for Executive Success Programs. Now we know.
All right.
I put it in later. He founded Nexium with a woman named Nancy Salzman, who likes to call herself Prefect. So it's Vanguard and Prefect, and I hate them both. Now she is in control of Nexium because he is in jail. And she has all this money, and a lot of people say she's 10 times smarter than Keith will ever be, and that's very terrifying.
I also don't think that's very hard.
It's not. Keith also claimed he had the highest IQ in like the 80s, and it was in the Guinness Book of World Records. It's not. This other woman had the highest IQ up until like 89. Keith's just dumb. He also said he was speaking full sentences at the age of one.
I mean, he could be in his own baby language.
Yeah. Joe Thornley says, I imagine those sentences were, Keithy, go potty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a full sentence.
It is a full sentence. Okay, Nexium's mission statement featured 12 points that members were instructed to recite in order to purge themselves of all parasite and envy-based habits, and ethically control as much money, wealth, and resources of the world as possible. And they would sell classes to people. It's kind of like, it is Scientology. Scientology gets you in by selling you classes to better yourself. So does Nexium. These classes would take as long as 12 hours to complete, and one known price for one of these modules was listed as $7,500.
Yeah. Ew.
Yeah. Which, like, I feel like I can't talk about this without also bringing up Scientology, which I want to do a big episode about, because Scientology is a big baddie. But, like, Scientology will claim that, oh, we're not taking away these people's money. You can take these classes and they're really cheap. $25, $50, $60. It's like, okay. But then they ask you to move up and it gets more and more and more and more until it's taking everything from you.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same. Both of them are based off the Amway model, which is what pyramid schemes are based off of. And it's all about, like, recruiting people, and then you're the boss of them, and you make more money, and you're becoming more successful, but only in terms of the company and not in the real world. Also, these classes are dumb. One class, members were taught how to take advantage of a significant other's sudden death. Another class allegedly focused on Dracula.
Neither. Was it Gary Oldman's Dracula?
God, I hope so, because that's the only saving grace of this entire thing, if it is. Neither of these things have to do with business. Meanwhile, the Scientology sit-downs called exploration meetings had senior Nexium members question lower-tier members about their memories while uncovering fears and underlying health issues. So you're trying to get dirt on them, which Scientology also does with the stupid cans. I'll tell you about the cans later. When women left the group, they were labeled as suppressives, like Scientology, and socialists, stop, and enemies of the company. You're not a company, you're a cult. Legally, that's a joke. Don't sue me. They sue a lot of people, just like Scientology.
Hmm.
It's great. So now we're gonna get into DOS.
Okay.
Which is the bad part.
Okay. This is the one with Alice and Mac.
This is the one with Alice and Mac.
Okay.
If you do not like bad sex, it's not even, if you don't like rape and human trafficking and all that stuff, which none of you should, you can turn away now. Oh, all of this is happening around Albany, New York, mm-hmm. in the woods.
Okay.
And I say in the woods because Brock was told he got hired for the Knife of Aristotle job. And they're like, before you can start, you have to take our 5-week course that you have to pay for in the woods in Albany. And he's like, what's in the woods? And they're like, why you keep asking about the woods? Just come to the woods. I shouldn't have to ask what's in the woods if you get a job. Don't go to the woods. So, Rainier claims that this was all started by Allison Mack. And she claims that she started it. I think she's just covering for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because she is completely brainwashed by this man, and I don't know why. So, Doss is the Dominus Obsequius Sororium, master of slave women. So, pretty much, it was women selling out women.
Yeah.
So, Mac would recruit women, and she would be their master, and her master is Keith. And then those women would recruit other women, and they would be their master, but also the slave of Mac, and vice versa, and it kept going down.
So weird.
And it kept going down. And they said it was, like, a feminist organization to empower women.
Were they sex slaves?
Oh, we're getting there.
Okay.
But they claimed it was this, like, secret organization for women for empowerment in business. Again, none of this has to do with fucking business. And eventually, to keep them in, they'd be like, well, to be part of this organization, you have to give us some collateral, which was nudes or personal secrets, mm-hmm. or anything, videos of you masturbating, like that level. It's just bad. It's bad. There was also, apparently, your master could text you a question mark and you had to respond within 20 minutes or you would get punished. Yeah. And you can't talk about this to anyone else. And also, the entire town that this is in, because he bought a town outside of Albany, is all run by Nexium members. So they're just, like, all stuck in there together. It's like Clearwater, Florida. Scientology. It's all Scientology! Goes all the way to the top! I'm getting angry. Anyway, mm-hmm. Mac claims that all that this is all her idea. We're instructed to text their master's text their master's photos of their unshaven vulvas and ensure that their faces were in the frame. Extreme low-calorie diets were enforced, while any sexual activity that did not involve Rainier was prohibited. So eventually your master would tell you to go seduce Keith, and that's when it becomes the sex cult.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was all just Mac, quote-unquote, luring all these women to become Rainier's sex slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would brand them with Keith's initials.
Yeah, I did see that.
Right above their genitals, which is a very, very painful spot. And the reason I mentioned in Albany is because it is illegal to do at-home tattooing in New York, but they didn't use a tattoo gun, they used a soldering gun. So they were burning the flesh to get around the no tattooing rule.
I also saw a thing that had, where it says KR, but it also says AM in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Allison Mack, too.
So it's like a big K and then a little R in there, and it's on its side. So, mm-hmm. like, at a glance, you can't tell. And Rainier claims, he's like, it's a magical symbol that I made, and they edited it without my knowledge to include my initials. Bull fucking shit. I hate you. So Nexium remained intact for nearly two decades, and this all came crashing down in 2017 when a former member and whistleblower named Frank Parlato published a series of articles about the cult. After the New York Times and other publications began investigating the situation, members quickly began dropping like flies. I think the branding is what people got the most, because I remember when this all came out, people, like, that was the big thing, was this sex cult. And their lawyers even said, well, not their, but their lawyers made this argument. It's like, men can join secret organizations and get tattoos, and they're fine. It's like the Marines. But when women do it, they're called victims. And I'm like, okay, because you literally tied them to a table and used a soldering iron to carve a man's initials into their pelvis.
I don't like that.
No one likes that. And apparently, also in Rainier's trial, which was recent, revealed that he was about to construct a dungeon full of BDSM toys at his DOS headquarters that would apparently include cages, paddles, and puppy plugs, perfect for puppy play or naughty slaves. We don't kink shame here, but everyone needs to be consensual.
Yeah.
This doesn't.
I almost just said, okay, Christian Grey, but
none of this sounds consensual, because it's not. U.S. Attorney Tanya Hajar, during his trial, said he claimed to be a leader, but he was a con man. He claimed to be a mentor, but he just exploited it. Nexium was a crime organization, and Keith Rainier was a crime boss. I believe it. So he, right before he got arrested, escaped to Mexico. So did Alice and Mac. That's where they were both arrested. And he was arrested in March 2018 with Mac, Salzman, her mother Nancy. Salzman is her his secretary, but now she's kind of in charge. Their bookkeeper, Nancy Russell, and the Bronfman sisters, which are the heiresses to the Seagram's fortune. I will say this, Seagram's is really delicious. I love them. That's what we drank the night before Rachel's wedding. We sat on the porch, and her mom brought out a literal IKEA bag full of Seagram's. It was so heavy.
That's funny.
Ugh. Most recently, Rainier's attorneys asked for a retrial regarding his racketeering case, as two witnesses allegedly lied under oath. Everyone pleaded not guilty. I think recently they changed. I think Mac actually pleaded guilty to the sex trafficking and stuff. Mm-hmm. Because, so they were in Mexico. They have a headquarters in Mexico where they also teach, like, children.
Yeah.
In kindergarten. It's called, like, the Rainbow Garden or something. And apparently the cult's still going strong in Mexico, and that's where they were human trafficking a bunch of people to Albany, New York, from Mexico. Not cool. Regardless of this development, Rainier is set to be sentenced in 2020, which did not happen because of the pandemic. He received at least 15 years as a mandatory minimum with a potential life sentence to follow.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at pictures of the brand.
Yeah, it's not great. Also, I will never understand how these people get into these positions of power in sex cults.
Yeah.
And they're not hot. Keith's not cute.
No.
You are not cute enough for that behavior, sir. No one is. So that's Nexium. Big, bold pile of anger, and it means absolutely nothing. There's an interview between him and Alice and Mac. It's like conversations with Keith, and it literally is him just saying nothing. And it's not like him being silent, just nothing means anything.
That's creepy.
And that's why they're in prison. Just the only solace I have. The end.
The end. All right.
That was a time.
Sign us out.
All right. Be safe, especially in these times. Have fun. Make some new friends. I hope you learned something new. And please come back here. Bye!
Bye.
Bugs out there, and I see their shadows.